thought for today. I live in my perfect human body. I live in my perfect human body. I live in my perfect human body. That's an interesting idea, isn't it? I live in my perfect human body. To live in your perfect human body is sort of a double-edged sword, much like the Excalibur that Arthur drew out of the stone when he was but a child. Because of his innocence, because of his inexperience, his lack of worldliness, he made a very excellent king. He made a king because he had empathy for himself and for his people. And that empathy was being interested in, being loving toward, unconditionally loving toward, but having no sympathetic emotions toward. This proved at times to be sort of a cold arrangement. But because he was so honorable, because he was so loving, without regard for one individual or another, he became a very exquisite king. In fact, we call him a legend. Camelot we call a myth. We say the silly things that are said about it could not have been true. But they were. And that he had a wizard to teach him is no more than each of you have had throughout your life, a wizard to teach you. But you call that wizard your mother and father, your teacher at school, your friend, your neighbor, whoever it happened to be. But in every life there's a wizard. A wise, beautiful person who cares about you, who shares with you the purity of your consciousness. In some people, that wizard is their conscious thought. It oftentimes is called the conscience. That little being within that tells us what is beneficial and not beneficial for us. Not necessarily right or wrong, but what is beneficial and not beneficial for us. To live in a perfect human body means that we live in a life, in a world that is harmonious with us. I surround myself with my pure white light of love. I am surrounded by my creation. I am surrounded by my creation of pure beings and pure circumstances. A human lives in this world because we chose to be here. No matter how difficult or how easy the life experience of any individual may be, each one has chosen to be here to experience that particular ease or difficulty. If it is a difficulty, we rise up like a wonderful master that we are, and we meet it head on with joy and happiness, not with comparison. That person has two legs and I have but one. Not with comparison. That person has a brilliant mind, and I am an ordinary person with an ordinary mind up to now. Whatever we admire in our world, those are things that we aspire to. Oh, I wouldn't ever want to be rich like him. He's got so many problems. Well, the richness and the problems don't go hand in hand. That person had the problems before he had the richness. Every one of these objective things are individualized. We can be empathetic with them. We can be untouched by them. We can be objective and know what they mean and what they are. And when we do that, then we live in a most wonderful circumstance. And that wonderful circumstance that we live in is 100% by our choice. I live in a perfect human body. Now, for any human being to say, I live in a perfect human body, is a travesty on the justice of reality. It is a terrible thing, ludicrous to the highest degree, stupid, idiotic, nonsensical, that any person on the face of the earth says, I live in my perfect human body. Because all of us know a perfect human body has certain parameters. Every cell is perfect. Every organ action function is perfect. The brain is clear and sharp and perfect. The brain is untouched by any information that might be unnecessary for it. The eyes are perfect. The ears are perfect. The senses of the body are perfect. Speaking is perfect. We speak every language in the universe. Every language and every dialect. Not because we want to, but because when we are there, we do it. We smell perfectly. Everything we do is perfect. If I live in my perfect human body. How can we live in a perfect human body when our body seems to be less than perfect? Well, number one, we created the body just the way it is with just its limitations. We had the organs cut out. We had the teeth worked on. We had the eyes worked on. We had everything worked on just because we chose it. But to heal means to return to our original purity and integrity. The original purity and integrity of our human body is quite clear. Everything functions as it was designed to function. Now we say, oh, the human body is easy. But what about the human experience? What about making a living? What about raising children? What about living in harmony with one another? What about having clear air to breathe, good food to eat, having pure water to drink? We see, none of this makes any difference to a person who does not live in his perfect human body. All of you would agree with me if I say, to enjoy pure, crystal pure water, whatever that means, crystal pure water is one of the greatest privileges we could ever know. To enjoy crystal clear water is one of the greatest privileges we could ever know. Now, if that is true, then every drop of water we put into our system is crystal clear, is perfect. Where can you get perfect water? Well, you cannot get perfect water from the well, because in the well are microbes and bacteria and thousands of other things. If you take a drop of water and put it under a high-powered magnifying glass, you would see so much life that it would just amaze you. But we're used to living with that life, and so that water is harmonious for us. But in the process of being used to living with that water, we had to build up an immune system, which made us immune to the bacteria, which made us immune to all of the possibilities of illness that might come from that. In a recent article in the Forbes magazine, they said, the people in underprivileged areas of Africa, the children especially, have a disease, and that disease is very, very damaging, very, very life-threatening. And every person who returns from having visited those people, by association, by contact, bring back a different experience of the germ. And when they bring it back, that same germ exists in each of our bodies. But their germ is a mutated germ. And so that bacteria or germ, whatever we want to call it, mutates the germs in the bodies of those it comes in contact with, making those bodies which are not immune, subject to that germ, to doing destructive work. But the thing that interested me in the article mostly was the statement that within every human body is every possible bacteria, every possible germ, every possible thing that could be. How interesting. We are the allness. But why is it that every possible germ or bacteria doesn't grow and infest the body in some negative way? Because we have built up immune systems to it. Now, if we really are living in our perfect human body, we return to the original purity and integrity of ourself mentally, and we see our body clear and beautiful and pure. We don't see this bacteria in our body. We see our body free from any bacterium. We cannot be contagious to anything because we are not immune to anything. Those things do not exist for us. But now let's take a step further and see how sincere we are in claiming I live in my perfect human body. Are you fastidious in the water you breathe, the water you drink? Are you fastidious about the water you drink? Are you careful? Do you make sure it is crystal clear and beautiful? It's not a matter of boiling, it's not a matter of drinking bottled water, it's not a matter of drinking well water versus city water, or city water versus well water. It's not a matter of putting chemicals in the water to purify it. But do you, in your thought, see that water pure and hence drink pure water? Or do you think of that water as being filled with bacteria because you've looked at a slide of a drop of water under a high-powered microscope and you saw all that life there? What do you think? I told you, I walked into a building on fire and I was taking pictures for the newspaper. And I was walking here and there, and smoke and fire were everywhere. And the firemen had on their gas masks, their smoke detector, smoke mask to keep smoke from coming in their lungs. And I walked through the entire building taking pictures, and I came out, and the firemen were following me. They were coming out too and coughing, even with their gas masks on, their smoke masks, they were coughing, because they believed that they got smoke through the mask. They believed they had smoke coming in and bothering their lungs and so forth. And they were bothered. And they said to me, "Barley, how come the smoke didn't bother you? Why aren't you coughing? Why did you have a mask on when you went in there?" Well, no one gave me a mask. I was there to do a job. I went in and did the job. My mind was one pointed on the job, not on the smoke, not on the hazard there, but I breathed pure air wherever I was. But how do you do that? Well, that's a long story, isn't it? One-pointed concentration on whatever you're doing. First, knowing that you always breathe pure air. First, know that everything you do is glorious. First, know that I live in my perfect human body. And as you know this, wherever you go, the air will be pure. You can go into a stinky bathroom and you will not smell the stinkiness. You will smell purity. I'm telling you. You have every opportunity constantly, every day, to live in your perfect human body by proclaiming, "This air is pure and beautiful. All air I breathe is pure and beautiful. All air I breathe is wonderful." Not that there's no smoke in the air, there's no stink in the air, there's no nothing in the air, but I breathe pure, beautiful air. And I drink pure, wonderful water. I drink pure, wonderful water at all times. If we're so sincere about doing this, then let us be sincere. Let us put into practice what it means to live in our perfect human body. Could a perfect human body do anything negative to itself? Of course not. Could it drink impure water? Could it eat impure foods? Could it breathe impure air? Could it hear? Because our body hears, you know, our body has ears, and it feeds our brain, which is a physical part of our body. Could our body hear anything than purity and goodness? Could our body see anything but purity and goodness? Think upon these things. If there be any merit in them, follow them. We are wonderful beings. We are wonderfully made. We must, even in our limited thinking, realize that the human body is a very complex and wonderful machine. It puts up with an awful lot. We can chop off arms and legs. We can cut out organs. We can move it around in most impossible ways. And yet it survives. And the moment we think, I'm going to die. The moment we think, this is the end. This is the end. Oh, you say, well, people in automobile accidents, for instance, their car is going over a cliff or something. They say, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. Well, they do. They want to die. They put themselves into just that situation, into just that type of an accident. And sometimes in investigation, police find that it was a purposefully done thing. They drove over the cliff on purpose. An observer saw them turn right toward the cliff and step on the gas and go. Oh, what a terrible thing to do. And if no observer was there, the aura of the person putting himself away is so strong and so powerful that everyone knows, even without being told, that it was his choice. Now you and I, we know, not because of any intuitive sense, but we know because the law of cause and effect. If you want to live, and you want to be living in your perfect human body, you will put yourself in an environment of perfection. You will not put into your mouth anything that is not pure. You will not put into your hearing anything that is not what you want to hear. You will not put into your sight anything that you don't want to see. You're watching a movie and a scene comes up that's not harmonious with your sight, and you cover your eyes or close them. Actually, why are you watching the movie in the first place? But think about these things. I live in my perfect human body. Our human body is perfect, but we put the thought in there that it's imperfect. We put the thought in there that because of an appearance, we say it is not good. A little boy makes a mistake, and the mother says, you are condemned to evil the rest of your life, you terrible child. And of course, the child normally lives up to whatever expectations the parents have. And the child created the parent saying that too. But if the parent were really a parent, it would say to the child, well now, what brought this on? You are always such a loving, gentle, caring child. You are always so thoughtful. What brought this on? Well, that wasn't the one with him. Oh, that's all right. We don't care what other people do. We only care what we do. Now, you're a brilliant young man. You are loving and positive and powerful. Now, you just forget what they said. And you go out and you be yourself. And you watch. It won't be but a few minutes. They'll be back playing with you and saying, can I have all your toys? And you always stand up and say whatever you want to say. You don't buy another person's love, friendship, relationship by doing what they want you to do. You first like yourself. And when you like yourself, everybody in your world will like you. And those who don't, they won't be in your world. But everybody in your world will like you. You'll see. And you and I, when we say we live in our perfect body, we have to remember it's like the Excalibur sword of Arthur. He pulled this double-edged sword out of the stone. And one edge was the edge of peace, which never struck anything in anger or in harm. The other was the edge of war. And if that edge were brought into play, inharmonious things took place for the kingdom. And Arthur always used the edge of peace, even when he went to the Crusades, looking for the great chalice that Christ had used at the Last Supper, leaving his kingdom, taking with him his knights, taking with him his honor guard, and leaving the kingdom and his family to itself. You see, even a great being like King Arthur can run away from responsibility because he thinks he's running to a greater responsibility. But there's no greater responsibility for you, for me, for anyone, than to live in my perfect human body, to be a perfect human being here. And as we are a perfect human being here, we will be a perfect master. Because, as the Jews oftentimes spoke about King Solomon and his riches, King Solomon and his riches, King Solomon and his riches, King Solomon and his riches. Did they talk about the richness of his mind? The richness of his wisdom? The richness of his genius? Or did they talk about the wealth in jewels and gold and things like that, and the greatest temple ever built there? What did they talk about? You see, your heart is where your thought is. And when your thought is upon the jewels of King Solomon's temple, you miss the point. For when you are rich in your inner self, you live in your perfect human body. Your mind is filled with wisdom, and you act wisely under all circumstances, as did King Solomon. You eat the foods that are harmonious with your body from your point of view. You surround yourself with a court of people who appreciate the wisdom that you dispense, who are harmonious with you. You think peace at all times. And the reign of King Solomon was called a reign of peace. But what are we told when we think about King Solomon? We think of his riches in money, not his riches in mind. Very important for us to build in our consciousness the awareness of the riches in mind. To live in our perfect human body. Our perfect human body has a brain. We sometimes call it our mind, but it's brain, the physical object. The mind functions through the brain. The mind is our divine awareness. But think about that. Where are your thoughts? Are your thoughts on your perfect human body? Or are your thoughts on your perfect limitations? You're welcome to have either one. You're welcome to show the world where you put your attention. Now, where do you put your attention? What are your values? What is important to you? Is it important to you to live in your perfect human body? If so, your perfect human body is a thought. Embrace that thought. Love that thought. Live with that thought. Believe that thought. When you're chanting the mantra, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, the outer evidence may not be there. but the truth is, you would not chant that if you did not believe that could be a possibility of an experience in your life. And it not only is a possibility of an experience in your life, it is your life. So this day begin to set a new cause in motion for yourself that will last with you the rest of your human life. I live in my perfect human body. I live in my perfect human body. I live in my perfect human body. I love you.